I was driving home the other day, and Limp Bizkit was playing, and it was on Sirius Radio, and the DJ, I can't remember if it was Julie Brown or whoever it was saying that she was shocked that the 1 year Limp Bizkit came out, they won the Grammy, and then they played "Did It All for the Nookie," the Nookie. So you could take this cookie and stick it up your. I can't get that damn song out of my head for like 4 days straight, man. But I did like Limp Bizkit, not as much as Linkin Park. I prefer Linkin Park way more than Limp Bizkit. But I did like that particular. I think it was their debut album. I thought it was pretty cool. But anyway, we're here to talk about some recent purchases. I'm gonna make this one sort of fast because I want to read and not podcast. I got a stack of some Marvel. I haven't read Marvel outside of old issues lately. And last night I started the Thing, the new series, and I want to read the second issue and then get into a I got into a situation where I ran out of room in a box, and I was like, well, I don't want to have to go get another box at the storage unit, so I'm going to read all these and put them in a red box instead of a to-read box. And I pulled out a bunch of Marvels, and I want to read that stack. And then I have homework. I don't know if Kyle's going to be able to record, but I have to read The Witcher 1, 2, and 4. I don't think they had 3 on the app. Not The Witcher. That's The Witching Hour from DC Comics. I have to finish Crime Syndicate, which I think I only have 2 issues of that. And I wanted to start The Flintstones. I had read The Flintstones before, but I just wanted to have a refresher, and I never finished it. And it gives me an excuse to get the ball rolling on that book. And then on Geek Brunch Retro, if anybody is able to record, I'm going to probably pick something out of Green Lantern and the Flash from the 80s and 90s. Just because there's a long box next to my reading couch, and it's been there for Godly, it's been there since like a decade, and it basically is a box from my comic shop where I had a bunch of Aquamans and Swamp Things where I was finishing the run, and there was a few Blackhawks in there and a few Flashes and a few Green Lanterns. Because my goal on the Flash and Green Lantern was to get every single book since 1973. I did that. And then I have a bunch of other issues that are prior to that, but not consecutive. But everything from 1973 forward, I have. And then Blackhawk, I fill in as needed. I mean, I'll never get like a lot of the Golden Age stuff. I have some of it, a few Golden Age here and there, but I fill in the Silver Age and Bronze Age every time I get a chance. 'Cause I've really come to the conclusion that I have read a lot of World War II hero comics from DC specifically. I'm not too familiar with any like Combat Kelly or Sergeant Fury. I have a few Sergeant Furies. I found that reading material sort of dry, but I did buy the Epic Collection, so I could dive into Sergeant Fury and the Howling Commandos at some point. But yeah, I've kind of come to the conclusion that Black Hawk is my favorite war hero, And I think that's like I couldn't afford a lot of those dolls and space-wise anyway. But they had a lot of military dolls that were released from the G.I. Joe line, like Black Hawks, Sergeant Rock, Enemy Ace. There was even a Black Hawk woman. I can't remember who it was. I think Mademoiselle Marie. They released a few Easy Company like Bulldozer and Little Sure Shot and couple of them. And the ones that I wanted were Black Hawk, Enemy Ace, and Sergeant Rock. I think Sergeant Rock is the most expensive of that bunch. But anyway, I just got the Black Hawk. That's the one I focused on because I don't know why I just like that comic book so much. I recently read the Prestige format number one, and it's so funny how when you read it when you're younger, there's a blowjob scene in that comic book where one of the villains is. Has a guy come into the office and his secretary's under the desk giving him a blowjob. And I remembered reading that when I was much younger and thinking, oh my God, that's crazy. And now I read it and it's like a lot of it was implied and it wasn't like, I guess what I'm saying is my imagination made it bigger than it was back then than what it turned out to be the second time I read it. But I don't even know where I was going with that. But I did get some recent purchases in the back issues, some key issues that I bought Warrior Nun Ariella, and this one I didn't have any of these issues. I have a couple now. But what drove me to buy these is I loved the Netflix series. I know that second season's supposed to be coming out soon, but I really, really enjoyed that series, and I was like, well, I'd like to read, some adventures. And I have read some, like, I think there were Image crossovers with other characters, like, Warrior Nun plus somebody else. But I didn't have any of the Warrior Nun proper, and Aaron Myers was selling the first appearance, and I said, you know what, that's a good issue to have in my collection. So I purchased Warrior Nun Ariella from Antarctic Press. I'm still working on my Conan collection, and these are, I got issues 29, issue 36. Issue 218, which is a Jim Lee cover, and issue 245. I think there's only one more Jim Lee cover that I'm missing, but I'm always a sucker. Like, I have the Conan Todd McFarlane, and if I could get covers from the Image creators, I'm happy. Like, I'm really happy. And I've told you of all the decades that I've been around, the one decade that sort of my mind exploded, it's always exploded. It really exploded in the Bronze Age because that's where I grew up. But where I really needed comics personally, when I really like needed them like as a stress reliever for me to decompress from all those college exams and studying and electrical engineering. I really needed those comics in the 90s 'cause they brought me to a place where I could free my mind before I started studying. And then after I got real knee deep in the studying, it was a way for me to decompress. So like the 90s, they meant a lot to me, they They had Batman breaking his back and Superman dying and the Spectre coming and spirits of vengeance and all kinds of just Image, Valiant, Malibu, Ultraverse. It was just a combination of just all these comics and what they did for me. But yeah, that was one of them. And I have two of those Jim Lee covers because I just pulled the trigger on it, and I thought I was missing one Jim Lee cover because I think he did like three back-to-back issues of Conan, not interiors, but covers. And I have two of them, but not that third one. I always look to complete my Captain Marvel, and this is Captain Marvel number 19. I wish I would have done that 10 years ago for Silver Surfer Volume 1 because it's just $1,500 for First Mephisto. That's just too fucking much, man. And then I want number one. The ones I'm missing are number one and number three. And then I have a couple of more affordable ones, but then I have a full run. But I just don't know if I want to, put that much money towards it. Like, I could have got it for 100 and some bucks a couple years ago, and it just this Marvel movie thing and TV show and speculation has helped the back market if you're in the seller's market, but it's really crippled the buyer market. And that's where I find myself wanting to be in the buyer market. I don't even enjoy selling. But the next one was important to me, and I really didn't know about this book, but I guess it was found out that this one is. I always thought the Malibu Sun was Spawn, and it was the predicate, first appearance of Spawn in a comic book, not necessarily first appearance of Spawn in sequential artwork, but the first appearance of the character as an ad or an article. And I found out it was in Toro number, sorry, Torg number 2. And I saw an opportunity to buy it from Aaron Myers, and he had 2, 3, and 4 together, and I pulled the trigger because I wanted it. And you know what? That Torg artwork is pretty damn nice. So I don't regret it. I still need to catch number one, but that's not going to cost me much. But this is from Adventure Comics, which was a subset of Malibu at the time. And the ad is pretty cool because it's got Spawn and then a little coupon for a subscription. I sure would like to know if anybody was getting Spawn via subscription. For me, it was at the LCS. We got Strange Tales number 179. This is the first appearance of Pip the Troll. It was a good price and an opportunity to buy first appearances when I. It used to be nice when all the first appearances were very affordable, but now they're getting quite expensive. This was an opportunity that I could afford to get, and I wanted the first appearance of Pip the Troll. So I picked that up. I have every single World's Finest from 1973 forward. And I have a lot of it prior to 1973, but not sequentially. And I picked up a couple issues of World's Finest. I picked up issue 181, which has Superman and Batman running from a hunter, kind of like Kraven, and it looks like he's got on a leash a hyena. And you think, why Superman running? That hyena would probably bite through his leg and break his teeth. But it's got Superman and Batman play the world's most dangerous game in The Hunter and the Hunted. And then it's a giant-sized World's Finest, Batman and Superman. It's got, how can Superman defeat the negative Superman? Which newspaper has Clark Kent and Bruce Wayne as reporters? What beautiful girl has the world's greatest heroes as suitors? Who is the teenage hero whose origin is told in a guest star spot? And why do Superman and Robin unmask Batman? Good stuff. I always look to fill Strange Tales, Tales of Suspense, Tales to Astonish, and there's a few I was missing. Number 91, Iron Man versus the Crusher on the cover, but this is where Iron Man shared the book with Captain America. And they alternate. So, like when Iron Man is the first story, it has Iron Man first. They'll say Iron Man and Captain America. And then there's Captain America and Iron Man. There is a comic book right now being published called Captain America and Iron Man, interesting enough. So it's almost like a Tales of Suspense, except Tales of Suspense had two individual stories in it. And Captain America and Iron Man, the current series, is a story with them together. You knock to go outside, but you see the snow and you say, "Hey, fuck that, Dottie. I'm going to lay on my couch." So anyway, Dr. Pepper, zero. There's a Strange Tales I was missing. I went into a later issue with Pip the Troll where it featured Warlock. But this is Strange Tales 157, Nick Fury and Doctor Strange with a Steranko cover. It's a really beautiful cover. It's got a Hydra guy over Nick, in a shirtless Nick, and a beautiful woman over a globe. And it says, "Crisis." There were a couple of, anytime I can get a nice looking Golden Age book, I will jump on it. And I bought a Little Abner, Al Capp's Little Abner, number 86, which is a 10-cent book. And it's a Sadie Hawkins Day issue. And I don't know anything about Little Abner, but he's being chased by a beautiful woman, and in the background there's a portrait of a really ugly woman. So I don't know what's happening there. I bought an issue of Famous Funnies, number 146. Has a woman that's not in color, holding an umbrella for a big man in a hat and suit, and a dog that's going. And it says, "Invisible Scarlet O'Neil." And this guy's saying, "Strange, this umbrella has followed me all the way from the beach." Maybe that's why the dog is like, he could sense there's a ghost there. And I'm only missing like two issues of the Kirby Superman's pal Jimmy Olsen. I have the first appearance of Darkseid issue. And this was one I was missing. It's 137. And it says, "Kirby brings them all together on the last day of the world. Superman's pal, the new Jimmy Olsen, guest starring that resurrected Rat Pack of rollicking rowdies, the Newsboy Legion, plus the Starwart Sires and the Guardian. Bred to ch challenge man and Superman, it lashes out in fury, a f new destructive force. The Forearm Terror." So good stuff there. And then I got some Kickstarters. These are kind of interesting. I must have selected a lot of like add to cart on the, you know how they have incentives you can add. But I bought a comic book from Bad Bug Comics called Dead End Moon. And it's a really nice looking comic book. But I must have added on Midnight Highway number one, The Umbrella Tale, sorry, Undercity Tales, and Black Jackets one and two. And they look like really good put together comic books. Looking forward to digging into there. And then let's went to the comic shop today, just a little comic shop news. I think last episode I told you there's a COVID line out there. Well, they moved it, so I felt more comfortable going in the shop today. Although there were a lot of people in there, and COVID's running rampant. Matter of fact, I found out one of the system administrators that I haven't seen in a while was out with COVID, and he's on oxygen now. And he was one that was didn't want to get a shot, and he said something like, "I'm fit, I don't need a shot," and now he's on oxygen. So I guess being fit really has nothing to do with it. It's just how the virus attacks your body. But just think, if he might have got, the vaccine, he might be out there, and he wouldn't have to been hooked up to a respirator and then come out of a hospital later only to be on oxygen. But yeah, it's sad, seeing, friends, good people getting this terrible disease, and then the aftermath of it is your lungs are, damaged. But anyway, that COVID line wasn't there, and it's usually like blocking the store. It's like ridiculous for testing, and I was able to get in the shop. There was nobody outside. The store was pretty packed, but I went and got my books. Scorched, the new Spawn book finally came out. This is the fourth. So they got Spawn, they got King Spawn, they got Gunslinger Spawn, and Scorched. And so far, my favorite of the bunch is Gunslinger Spawn. That scratches the itch. Followed by Spawn, and then last is King Spawn. Interesting to note that my co-host Bill's favorite is King Spawn. So it looks like there's something different for everybody. They might have a different favorite. And we'll see where Scorched plays upon in that series. I also like the fact, though, that he has drawer boxes now. So the guy who invented drawer boxes is in Denver. And he drives a truck down to Colorado Springs, and there used to be only one provider, maybe two, but I don't like to go downtown. But the Heroes and Dragons had the boxes, and I would go buy 20, or sometimes 12 to 15, or sometimes 20, and then put them in the storage unit, and then pull them out as needed. But one thing I like, but he would never buy the rails, and I really like the rails because while I fill a box, the rails don't make sense because I want to pack them in as much as I possibly can. But the rails makes where I like the rails is when a box is not full and you have, I don't know, like 20, you could put a rail in there and it protects the book from sliding and getting bent. So I really like the drawer boxes with the rails, and my shop is now carrying the drawer boxes and the magazine drawer boxes. So it's nice that I can not have to drive to the storage unit, buy them in bulk, at least so far, and then but just buy one every week. So far, I've been doing that. I've been buying one. Today, I bought two. Got to go to the storage unit to take some magazine boxes. I bought another storage unit, a big one, a 10 by 20. My other one was 5 by 10, and I don't want to pack it anymore, even though I could pack a lot more in there. I like to be able to walk in there so I can use the drawer boxes as designed and get to what I need to get to. But I think that's enough of talking about storage units. Now let's get into the weekly reads. This is from 11:15 to 11:21 of 2021. I got credited. I credited 5 out of 5 shows with Curb Your Enthusiasm season 11. I loved it. Very big fan of Curb Your Enthusiasm. This had 3 episodes this ep that were in my top favorites. Leon is incredible. The guy who plays Leon. But this season, had Tracy Ullman, and it's just been so funny, really funny, and I love that show. It's like my replacement for Seinfeld. It's very Seinfeld-esque. So if you're a fan of Seinfeld, you probably will like Curb Your Enthusiasm. Larry David was a writer on there with Seinfeld and producer. So you could see a lot of the characters that were in Seinfeld in Le how Larry David acts, because he was a writer. Even had like Elaine in it, like the actors Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Jason Alexander, and I think Seinfeld actually appeared in one season. So they do show up from time to time. But the show is just fantastic. And then the other show I finished was Star Wars Clone Wars Season 7. So I finished Clone Wars. Now I'm in Star Wars Rebels, which it's tied up there with Clone Wars. I watched all of Bad Batch. But Rebels is, how could I say it? Rebels gets a lot done in the short period of time where Clone Wars takes a long time to get through stuff, but it takes place after the Clone Wars, and Ahsoka shows up in there, and Darth Vader and a young Princess Leia, and like it's right after the Clone Wars, and it's just very, very interesting. A lot of the characters that we saw and introduced to in Clone Wars show up in Star Wars Rebels. But I have to take breaks too. Like I don't want to like marathon all the seasons. Like I went through 1 and 2 of Rebels and I needed to take a break. And often when I need to take a break is I really do take a good break. Like I'm talking like a month. And I started watching some movies on Amazon Prime, really cheesy movies that I haven't heard of, but it's like a way to rest my mind before I jump into another, blast away. But those are both 5 out of 5. Star Wars, Clone Wars, Season 7, Curb Your Enthusiasm. And that week I only read 19 comics, 3 Marvel, 3 Image, 10 DC, 1 Comixology Unlimited. One Boom, one AWA. So let's start at the bottom, the 4 out of 5s. We had Deathlok 1999. This was launched as part of Marvel's M-Tech line. You're saying, what the hell is an M-Tech line? Well, they launched a line that was focused on tech. And it included Machine Man, but the Machine Man book was not called Machine Man. It's called X-23, not 23, X-51. X-23 is Wolverine's clone daughter, or whatever she is, Laura. Deathlok 1999, which is a different Deathlok. Warlock, which was based on the New Mutants character Warlock, and What was there one other? If there was one other, I can't think. It wasn't a big launch. It was like three books. It wasn't like Midnight Suns with a bunch of different books. But I read number one and two. The reason I got into this was we have a new segment on Geek Brunch. It's one of my favorite segments, even though I didn't participate in the last episode because I just ran out of time. But it's a fanzine frenzy. And the idea of fanzine frenzy is me and Bill purchase a lot of fanzines. But we, at least in my case, I wasn't dedicating any time to like reading a lot of those fanzines and articles. And by reading the articles, I learn a lot. And I read a Deathlok. I read two articles about Deathlok. And this one turned me on to Joe Casey Deathlok. This is this M-Tech line. And Joe Casey was like, I loved writing that book, Deathlok, because the editors would let me get away with murder. And you can kind of see it in there. It's just like this free writing, him, with working for SHIELD and getting chased by SHIELD. And it's not the Deathlok that we had known before. This is a new one. He was part of, his name was Jack Truman. Truman is a covert SHIELD operative who is the latest prototype in the agency's logarithmic organic kinetics department line of a killing machine. A skirmish with the Red Skull awakened Truman and he escaped, but why is his conscious trapped in the body of a 6-year-old Billy Bailey? They kind of only ran with that Billy Bailey thing in the early issues, and this is one and two that I'm covering. Questions piled upon questions are an order of the day in this series from Joe Casey and Lee Manco, who was responsible for Hellstrom and also the Avengers. Really good series. The next one I read was Altered Image. This was a retro week. Altered Image. And this was a crossover, believe it or not. This was written by Jim Valentino, but with a lot of characters from the universe. It was a fun idea that just didn't seem to work out as well as it should have. The three-issue miniseries began when Max wakes up and finds that reality has changed around him. In a rapid order, he rounds up Majestic, Spawn, the Savage Dragon, Shadowhawk, and Witchblade. So you can see a lot of the characters from there. There's nobody from Wetworks, but you have Todd McFarlane represented. No, you have Sam Keith, who wasn't an originator. You have Majestic, Wildstorm, Savage Dragon, Eric Larson, Shadowhawk was Jim Valentino, Witchblade was Silvestri, all on there. So the only ones that are not there are Rob. He's probably long gone by this time in 1998. To join him in a quest to find out what the heck is going on, faster than you can tell. Yell Amalgam Universe. They are blipped through another dimensional portal with the characters to become combined versions of one another along with other Image characters. There is an amalgam, so Savage Dragon is joined with Spawn and Witchblade is Majestic or things like that. That's what I mean about Amalgam Universe. Although Jim Valentino writes and draws the series, he doesn't really hit the idiosyncrasies, this is by a reviewer, by the way, of each of the characters, and as a result, misses out on a great deal of comic book potential the situation gives. But it is an interesting historical book because it's one of those things where, yeah, you can use my property. Go ahead, put it in your comic book. Giving Shadowline, the run of their characters, which is really cool. And it was three-issue series in 1998. That was a 4 out of 5. The next 4 out of 5 was Fight Girls number 2, the girl with the patch over her eye is being investigated, and she might be up to no good. The other two leaders prevent each other from winning the race, and there is another winner. So the two leaders of this particular issue's race, which wasn't the winner of the first issue, caused each other to not win and give it to that third place team. Not purposely, but because they were fighting so hard for the win. We have Spider-Man Unlimited number 10. This is one that I was reading over, the September time frame holiday that I had in New Mexico. What drove me to Spider-Man Unlimited was I found out I'm trying to be an Eric Larson completist, and I found out he didn't really do an issue, but he did a cover for an issue. So I just bought that one for my comic shop, and it was like issue 3 or something like that. And then I saw that it was on the Marvel app while I was on the vacation. I said, why don't I just start with one and move my way through it? And it's like a anthology of stories by a bunch of artists that are very familiar, but the writers are not so much. They're like writers that were trying to write comics or weren't as popular at the time. But it turns out to be like really emotional stories, just like in A Day in the Life of Spider-Man. And number 10 is an excellent issue as Jameson hires a new employee like him who hates Spider-Man. Later, he has second thoughts as Spidey saves him. A woman feels she is nothing left and is going to do an act of terrorism until Peter Parker saves her. So there were two stories in that issue. Really enjoyed them. And I still have to wrap up that series. I get distracted. I have comic book ADD, as you may know. And the reason I rank comics so high is because I strategically have to be in the mood to read them. I don't like read something because I have to, in order to fall behind or something. I read it because I'm in the mood. That's why I'm always behind. I sometimes go back. I sometimes read something current. I sometimes read Golden Age because I'm in the mood for it. And I just bounce around an awful lot. And I don't know if I'll still have this mentality. Well, I'll still have this mentality, but not a purchasing mentality maybe in the near future where I feel like I'm buying everything. And it's more what I like to say is I'm an archivist of history. And I like to build a library for myself so when I retire, I can just read anything on demand. And at some point, my library has to stop growing. I haven't determined that, but I have determined that I'm trying to, I've talked about this, reduce the number of books I'm getting in order to pay for that storage unit. So I had to reduce it by like $300, a little less than that. But because it's an indoor storage unit and I wanted it next to my current unit and I want the first floor so I don't have to take elevators and I waited for it to be next to my current unit because I might want to go from one unit to another or move one box from one to the other or I don't know what I'll do. And I don't want to have to take one box upstairs and then go through another box and then come back down. If I had them next to each other, it's a good situation, you know? And that's what I have. So the next book was from Comixology Unlimited, and like I got a trial with that because I had to convert my account from I had my own Comixology login. But I had to link that login to an Amazon account and it was never linked. So I linked it up to my wife's because we use it for that. And I enjoyed it a lot when I was reading it. And I like their selection. But lately I haven't been in the mood for it, which is weird because they have a wide selection. But I'm going through this phase where I just want to read Marvel and DC. It's an interesting phase, but I get in these phases, you know. I'll eventually switch back and go read it, but I was always trying to read something to feel like it's justified, and I read a ton that when I first got it, and I've been trying to read a lot of the Comixology Unlimited books, and this one is called "We Only Kill Each Other." I think this is Stephanie Phillips, but it deals with a Jewish brawler and a boss, and a Nazi sympathizer, and they're gonna end up fighting the Nazis. So it was really interesting, and I've already tackled number two. And then there's this comic book. This came from Rob Liefeld. As you know, I'm trying to complete all Rob Liefeld's books. I'm very, very close. I'm not gonna buy his NFT, I'll tell you that right now. I can't. My mind, my old man mind, cannot make something digital a collectible, like through encryption or whatever have you. Even though there's only like 100 of them, it just seems like I'm buying a digital comic book, so only I can get. And yeah, I know you can sell your NFT, but it just. It's not physical. I can't hold it. I can't. It's like buying nothing. Like, I can see, like, going to, you know, how I have these digital comics. I'm renting them essentially. Or if I go on Comixology, I have bought some before and I own them, but I don't ever think of them as a collectible. I think of them as a convenient way to read. I just can't wrap myself around it. But I read Maxim Age 1 and 2. And this is the first appearance of Maxim Age. A movie shoot on Easter Island was rudely interrupted when one of the huge statues exploded, releasing a wizard man who has been trapped inside for a millennia. The man is known as the Ancient and has immediately traveled to Hollywood, where he appeared before Robin, a young street urchin. She was kind of like in an Oliver Twist situation, you know, robbing for somebody else. With a wave in his hand, she found herself garbled in a warrior's costume and had her destiny revealed to her. She had become Maxim Age, the most powerful sorcerer on the planet. Sorceress. The power came with strings attached, the most urgent being the obligation to save the Earth from the ancient space gods who had returned to destroy it. Maxim Age is much like a bad girl version of King Arthur's legend, with an ancient substituting for Merlin, and suddenly become a buxom Maxim Age filling the part of King Arthur. But this series is a lot of fun, and sometimes Rob doesn't answer my questions. Like, I was trying to ask him if he still owns Maxim Age, because I'm enjoying the concept for sure. It's a lot of fun. But he answers what he wants to answer. And I don't know if he doesn't want to answer this because he doesn't own the character anymore, because he had to divide up shares with his whoever and helped him invest during the awesome years. And I forget what that guy's name that owns Youngblood. But they sort of divvied up his properties. Like, he still has Prophet and you know, Brigade and a couple others. But this guy got Youngblood, which to me was his biggest property. And who knows what else he might have. He might have Maxim Age. But this was an interesting comic book, and I love the art. I really do. The writer was Eric Stevenson and Rob Liefeld, and the artist was by a guy named Fabio Lagunia. Issue one was sort of drawn by Rob Liefeld, but the rest of them were Fabio, and he's got a style that fit the sensibilities of somebody from Extreme. Enjoyed that. The next book was Superman and the Authority 2 through 4. This was really tied into Action Comics. Mr. Miracle, Midnighter. He has to form the Authority to help the team, and it's got Natasha, Steel, it's got Apollo, Midnighter, and some other characters. I can't remember all of them. But they have to go into a war world and try to stop them from coming closer to Earth. And that Mongol, I think it's a son of Mongol actually, but wants to kill the Kryptonian characters that were like related to Kryptonians that have escaped to Earth. And Clark Superman feels that he has to go in there into space because he put her kind of in hibernation so one of the Kryptonians wouldn't die. And to stop Warworld, he has to like find the cure. And he's taking the authority with him. We then have Fury of Firestorm 55 through 57. Been reading this for DC Spotlight. It's a Legend crossover where Firestorm takes on Brimstone and loses. Godfrey is causing the world to turn against the heroes, and Professor does not want anything more to do with Firestorm. Ronnie joins Firestorm. Professor fights him as he is trying to stop a book burning at the library. This is crazy. The library is attacked again, and Hawk, from Hawk and Dove, tries to stop it, but is overwhelmed by sheer quantity of people. Later, the professor lets Ronnie know never again will he let him take over the body like that. But they do join to help stop Hawk and his gun friends from killing these library attackers and the police by turning bullets to flowers and weapons to pies. They make an agreement only the professor can join Firestorm from here on out. Like Johnny won't instigate, or sorry, Ronnie won't instigate it unless lives are in danger, and that does happen in subsequent issues. Firestorm deals with the biology major who was kicked out of school and now seeks revenge and develops a gas that can kill people instantly. Firestorm does manage to save the day just in time. I do not think the dean did die though. So like the student tried to kill the dean, but you never see it happen. And during this, you find out the professor is acting like this because he's got something going on. He's got a brain tumor. But you got Eat the Rich number 2 from Boom Studios. Our female lead tries to tell her fiance what is happening with his family, but he took drugs before bed, so he's not really cognizant, like aware when she tells him. She runs into some help and she explains it is done to the person that is help that they're doing it to get health care for their families. And they essentially agreed to give their bodies up when it is time and get eaten. They, these are cannibals. These rich people eat their servants. But Firestorm does manage to save the day just in time. Oh, what am I talking about? Eat the Rich. They are basically sign their lives away, the staff. Later, the help betrays her and lets her know what she saw. And I really wish that one of the things I don't like about Mike M's Weekly Reads is old age. I have to write down what I read when I was younger, like 30 or 40, I used to be able to say, "Oh, Fury of Firestorm 55, I remember that one." And I can just talk to it. But when I record this a month later, I don't remember what Fury of Firestorm. I remember I read Firestorm in like highlights, but I don't remember what happened in 55. So I have to track what I'm reading, and that's why sometimes when I'm reading, my eyesight, that's another thing that's getting worse with age. I want to convert all of my, and I've done this at work for a lot of things, but not Word yet, because I need a new release or patch. But you can go into dark mode, and then there's like a little flashlight thing where you can toggle from white mode to black mode. But I also that Eat the Rich number 2 was a 5 out of 5, so I forgot to tell you that I switched from 4 out of 5s to 5 out of 5s. And then Rorschach 11 and 12 and Strange Adventures 11 and 12, both by Tom King, both extremely excellent. I liked Strange Adventures more. Kyle liked Rorschach more. But both incredible stories. I really enjoyed them both. There's a lot of twists and turns in Adam Strange, which deals with his relationship and his daughter. And there's not too much Sardath in it, except at the beginning. And then you begin to wonder if him being a hero was sort of fiction, like there's questioning it. But he did do some bad shit, and Mr. Terrific and his wife called him on it. And but he was caught in a rock and a hard place situation. But I don't want to spoil anything there. Same with Rorschach, because it's full of twists and turns, and if you say exactly what's going on, you'll lose the journey, because it's a mystery. Both of these are mysteries. So the 5 out of 5s that week were Strange Adventures 11 and 12, Rorschach 11 and 12, and Eat the Rich number 2. DC, DC, boom. We then go into the week of 11/22 through 11/28. Almost takes us to the end of November. And we had 34 books. That was pretty incredible. We had 33 Marvel and one book novel, hard case crime book. So we'll start with the 4 out of 5s. All the comics were 4 out of 5s. The 5 out of 5 was the novel. And I feel good I read this novel. Not mostly because I haven't read a novel since college. It's been that long. Maybe I read one. I read Necroscope or something like that after college, but it's mostly been comic books, and I was shocked at how much I got into this story. Matter of fact, I've started my another new novel because of it. But we'll start at the 4 out of 5s. We have this is all related to that back issue magazine, which focused on tech and Deathlok. I read all of Deathlok's Astonishing Tales 26 through 36. This was the Luther Manning Deathlok, who was turned into a cyborg in the 90s by Riker, who was already almost a machine. It deals with him losing faith in his country, his interracial marriage. So, to my knowledge, it's one of the first interracial marriages. His best friend marrying his wife after the fact, while he is thought dead for 5 years, and it ends with no completion because it's continued in Marvel Spotlight, Marvel Team Up, and Marvel 2-in-1. And this is where the Marvel Unlimited app is wonderful. So I gave the 3 out of 5s to Astonishing Tales, 26 through 36, mostly because it's artistically beautiful, but it does not accomplish an ending, and it meanders a little bit. Even though it's like Bronze Age gorgeous and the concept is wonderful, a lot of the wrap up is in Marvel Spotlight, Marvel Team Up, and Marvel 2-in-1, and Captain America, and Marvel Spotlight 33 was a 4 out of 5. It continues from Astonishing Tales, where he goes back to the 70s and takes on Devil Slayer. Marvel Team Up number 46 with Spider-Man, Deathlok. Spider-Man finds himself in the 90s in the future, because you got to remember when the Marvel Team Up was in the 80s or 70s, and fights Deathlok as he's trying to kill kids. Marvel 2-in-1 number 27, brainwashed by the Fixer and Mentallo, Deathlok tries to assassinate the president, and FF have to stop him. He eventually gains control of his body again. And then we had Deathlok 3 through 11. This is the Joe Casey run involving the character Jack that we talked about. He does not want to be Deathlok and ends up fighting members of the Circus of Crime, and the Ringmaster is running for president. There's also a member of the Serpent Society in there. It's a very interesting read. He goes on a date with like a member of the Serpent Society. Fantastic run and better than the original, in my opinion. I still have to finish some of my Deathlok journey, but I got distracted again by the next article, and then I jumped to Machine Man. And now I'm kind of in 99 Spider-Man when it got relaunched by John Byrne, by Howard Mackie and John Byrne, and Peter Parker's Spectacular Spider-Man was relaunched. Well, actually, it's Peter Parker Spider-Man was relaunched by Howard Mackie and I can't remember, but it's a big name. Oh, JRJR. And I did run into an annual where it had John Buscema on Spider-Man. You don't see that too much. Because I don't think he even liked the superhero stuff. But that we have. We had Captain America 286 through 293. This is the conclusion to the Deathlok story, which went from Astonishing Tales to Marvel Spotlight to Marvel Team Up to Marvel 2-in-1 and wraps up in Captain America. The conclusion to the Deathlok story takes place in Cap. We find that Godwolf, who was in previous story arc, is working for the Roxxion subsidiary. You know, Roxxon, they always play bad guys in Namor and anything. Cloak and Dagger, the TV show. A subsidiary trying to teleport Earth's heroes to other dimensions. Cap and Deathlok defeat the organization with the help of S.H.I.E.L.D. He then gets ported back to his future. Cap fights the cult some more and trains Jack Monroe and gets proposed to by Bernie. That's his girlfriend. Cap's friends are being hunted by Zemo, Mother Night, and the Sisters of Sin, and the Red Skull, who's a really old man right now. One of his Vietnam friends gets put into a coma. Then there's Assistant Editor's Month. What if Bernie was Captain America? And then there's an issue where Tumblr and Cap versus a corrupt insurance agency. That one's pretty interesting, because the original Tumblr was lied to about some insurance money that was coming to him, and it's his brother taking the mantle to get revenge on losing his brother to to basically insurance company. The 5 out of 5 was Joyland by Stephen King. Absolutely incredible from beginning to end. So many questions. Everything was appealing to me. I fell in love with the main character, who was this kid that was in love with his girlfriend, and she dumps him. And it's pretty devastating because they were supposed to go to college together, and she's like, I can't do this anymore. And it's life-changing for him because all he knew was this woman. That was his life. And he goes to a carnival in Carolina. It's more like an amusement park than a carnival, but there is like fortune tellers at this amusement park, and there's people that put on costumes and do stuff like a Mickey Mouse would. You put on the Mickey Mouse costume. Well, he puts on a dog costume, and he goes through the circuit, and you learn all the characters. Like, there's one girl there that he likes a lot, but she's in love with this other guy, and he forms a relationship with that guy and that girl, and then there's a murder mystery there because a woman was killed in like the haunted house many years ago, and they kind of flesh out that, and then there's ghosts and stuff like that, and then he meets a woman, an older woman that wants nothing to do with him, but her boy, who's got like muscular dystrophy and he's gonna die, bonds with the major character. And they form a relationship, and it's just an incredible story, an incredible ending. I loved every minute of Joyland. I can't believe they just don't get like actors to put this out, like to put this movie out. It's absolutely incredible. Best thing I read of the year, is a novel, and I can talk about it for days because I just loved every aspect of it. But that's gonna wrap up this episode because as I get older and tired on a Friday, and it's Fridays when I usually record this, I want to decompress and I get sleepy doing these talking to myself for over an hour gets me tired. But I do want to go finish the thing number two. And probably jump into that Captain America Iron Man number one I was talking about to see how that is because I did pull that out of the box. So I want to really thank you for listening. Thanks to all the people that retweet me on the episode threads. That means a lot. It means you hopefully listen to the show and you want that the show to other people to see it. I don't know what my numbers are, but I know they're not high. So I really appreciate those that have the patience to listen to me kind of document my life, kind of what happens during the week in terms of comics, sometimes what happened to me in general. And talk about these. I didn't get to any questions this week, but I had a lot of fun on New Year's Day. I saw it, well, actually before that, Aaron Myers had this thread, and it was Ask Me Anything, and I didn't see it until the time expired, or I would have asked something. And I did the same thing, but I did it like on New Year's Eve, and I said Ask Me Anything until midnight. And I really had fun answering those questions. There were a lot of different questions, and they were a lot of fun to answer. I didn't save them off because I had some pretty good answers to questions, and they were really good questions. But I didn't save them off, and I don't want to have to go through all my different tweets looking for them. But I still have some questions queued up for next episode. And we'll go from there. So I want to thank you for listening. You can reach me at mike@comicbooknoise.com on the email, and you can send me comments on Twitter at Mike Myers Brunch, at Mike Myers Brunch. You can go to Facebook and type in Geek Brunch Podcast and click the like button. Don't send me a friend request unless you really know me. I keep my friends close nowadays. I don't grow my friends on Facebook. They have I don't want to give more access to myself, right, because I post a lot of personal stuff on there than I would on Twitter, which is more, that's where it defined me about comics books anyway. But that's the way to find me is Geek Brunch Podcast. Click the like button on the Facebooks. I am not on Instagram. I don't get that. I'm not on what's that? Post a pic and it expires. I'm not on there. I'm not on TikTok. I'm pretty much staying on the social medias that I'm familiar with, Twitter and there's times when the Twitter algorithms got pretty damn good though, at least for me personally. It seems to like learn when I'm reading articles from somebody that tweets and will like front load those people in my timeline, which I like because those are the usually those people that I'm interested in. And I still have my lists, but I've noticed whatever algorithm that it uses, it somehow learns like a neural net what categories and stuff I'm poking at and people that I'm replying to, and seems to put their stuff up in my buffer. It's like a list without being a list. It's learning your patterns and stuff like that, which or what you like when you click the like button and stuff like that, which I'm enjoying. But I try. A lot of times the time I look at Twitter is like first thing in the morning, and I don't spend a lot of time. I kind of like I get up groggy from bed. I scroll through Twitter. I said, do I have any mentions? It's the first place, and I usually don't have a lot these days. Nobody wants to talk to me, so I look at oh I'll scan. A couple of rows of data and reply to maybe two things. And then I go exercise and watch some program and then take Harley for a walk. And then get back and then I go to work. And then when I come back, we eat dinner and watch a program. We're currently watching the rest of Why the Last Man. We started Peacemaker on HBO Max and Why the Last Man on Hulu. We had taken a huge break there, but even though we know it's canceled, I wanted to come to a conclusion, at least in my mind, where it at least ended. And the last episode was really good, the penultimate episode. I really enjoyed it. They threaded all their threads in a really good order, so everything had equal screen time, and I really liked that because the one before that it was just on one storyline, the sisters' hero, but and then I had to not cut away from the finale last night because wanted to watch the first Peacemaker because I love Suicide Squad so much. And I love the Peacemaker character. It's very neat. Very not like the comic, but still a very interesting. He still has that concept like I'll commit, I'll kill all these people for peace. That's all I want. But yeah, that's like what I do on so, and then I go to bed, and if I have enough energy, I'll scroll Twitter again for about 10 minutes. So I really only do like half hour to 20 minutes of Twitter a day. Facebook, psh, maybe another 10 minutes if that. I'll scroll through more pictures and stuff, and I go visit Eric Myers this thing. And I'm pretty much done there. I'll post pics. Sometimes I like to look at my history, my memories, because man, I see some weird, creepy trends. Like the month of January, I was reading Venom, and I'm still reading Venom in January. So, like, what's with January and Venom? Like, I'll see some weird historical paradigms where I'm like, this, it's just weird how things align, and my mood is goes across, like as we go from winter to summer to spring and fall, it's so weird. But all right, well, I'll wrap this one up. Again, send me tweets at Mike Myers Brunch. Listen to the podcast, Mike M's Weekly Reads, which is this Geek Brunch podcast, Geek Brunch Retro, DC everything else, and DC Spotlight. And I have two on hiatus. I don't know if I'm going to come back to them. One of them I really like to do, which is a collector's corner, but it takes a lot of coordination on my part. I just haven't had time. And the other one that I thought was fun, but I'm trying to get away from a lot of Kickstarters now, was the Kickstarter podcast I did. But those two are kind of on hiatus, as if I decide. What I'm finding though is that in Mike M's Weekly Reads and Geek Brunch, or they're so generic that I could talk about whatever I want to talk about anyway. So by keeping them open, I'm very flexible as it is, and I do like the other one though, where I can talk to a collector and find their habits and their quirks, and that was a lot of fun. And I think a lot of people like those episodes, but I just am getting too tired at work. Work is wearing me out. It wears me out worse than before. I used to have lots of energy, man. I'd go to work a 10-hour, 12-hour day, get home, eat, go to my friend's house and play John Madden, rest in peace, football on the thing until like 3 in the morning, and get up at 6 in the morning, go back to work at 7:30, and then repeat and rinse. And the older I get, though, yeah, it's like, oh shit, I could go to bed at 8:30. So it's, oh man, I can't wait till I retire, and then maybe I can really develop the content that I want to develop. But we'll talk to you again soon. I want to thank you for listening, and peace out.